both teaching as well as in practice and in methodology, the focus has shifted from the Word of God to becoming a personality cult, and worse. So there is need for reformation in almost every church, and maybe even in your church. I certainly know that I have to, as pastor of my own local church, always be alert. And so I picked on three things I wanted to lay before you as we begin this conference, and it's in the outline, and if I remember it rightly, the first thing that I think which God has given to us as a call and a mandate to combat false teaching is to have a personal life of integrity. And I don't think anyone is going to debate that point. You know, you can have sound doctrine and you can have all the right words and live a false life. And I've given you verses in my outline which you can exegete for yourself. And I hope you study those verses where again and again the Apostle Paul is not embarrassed. He's not shy. He doesn't run away from the from saying to either the Corinthian church or the Philippian church again and again, saying, look at my life. Follow me as I follow Christ. What you have learned from me, that do. There's power in a life that's lived in holiness. There's power, there's influence, there's impact. The hand of God takes your life as you become a channel in His hands when you live an exemplary life. People want to model. People want to see in flesh what we are preaching about the gospel and about Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, don't you? And as our congregation see Jesus in us, there's going to be a lasting impact. Our churches will become Christ glorifying churches. That leads me to the second point I wanted to make in my opening message, and that's the power of the Word of God. I began to study the Bible when I was unsaved as a schoolboy in sixth grade. Someone put a postcard in my hands. I was like any normal boy. God graciously kept me financially poor, but I had a great desire to be accepted, and that kind of desire led me to do things that are not good, right, that are downright sinful. But someone put that postcard in my hands, and it was to be filled out with my name and address and a request for free Bible lessons. Free is always very attractive to a young child. Even adults love free, right? That's the best price. And so I began to study the Bible verse by verse. The Gospel of Mark is where I began, and I finished maybe 25, 30 lessons, wrote four more, and they sent me John's Gospel. And I went through all those chapters of John's Gospel, including the closing words of John's Gospel. These things are written that you might have life in His name. I just didn't get saved, but I began to love studying the Bible, especially as this invisible teacher would correct the lessons that I posted to her and would write good remarks and give me great marks, almost 99 out of 100. Those were mostly fill-in-the-blank kinds of questions. I finished John. They sent me the book of Acts. I tell you, the book of Acts is as powerful as any part of the Bible because it's the Word of God. Amen. And I went through 28 chapters of the book of Acts and learned the history of the church, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, and how the Apostle Paul went around in his journeys, which used to be called the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. I started calling them in my recent past the church planting journeys of the Apostle Paul. I was thrilled and inspired, not saved yet. And I was still in my early teens, going into grade 7 and 8. And this school said, we have no more lessons to give you. So I insisted that they give me. I wrote 2 or 3 postcards to them. And then they introduced me to another school that had possible lessons in the English language. And that school sent me the book of Romans. And as a teenager, I was going through Paul's treatise on justification by faith. Verse by verse. And when I finished Romans, a kindred book was sent to me, the book of Galatians. And I was into grade 9. And they had nothing more to send me. I was still a practicing sinner, unsaved, uninterested, very churchy, altar boy in the Anglican church in Pune, enjoying being Anglican because I loved wearing the cassock and carrying the cross and lighting the candles and helping the parish priest do all his hocus pocus. And he even sent me to tell the people who carry the communion elements, especially the ladies, you've got to cover your head. He was very conservative, you see, even though he was not a brethren. And so, enjoy that. But the correspondence school sent me a New Testament. And I went on holiday to Mumbai, Bombay in those days, because I thought Bombay is sin city. I might get more opportunity to sin. That was such a addiction. I couldn't really get into any sin because I had no money. God was so gracious. And my mom was strict, but her sister was stricter. And she had only girls who went to work early in the morning and came late at night. But one of those girls, she wasn't saved, but she took me to a gospel rally where, for the first time in my life, though I had been to many meetings, I knew most of the Christian hymns by heart. And in that Christian meeting, for the first time, I heard someone give a testimony. He happened to be an ex-Muslim. And I was thinking, that's so ridiculous. How can a Muslim stand up and talk about Jesus as his personal savior? And there was a Salvation Army band, and they played the hymns with the drums and the brass trumpets, we stood up to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. And I was dumbstruck, literally. I couldn't sing. I came under conviction. My heart was broken. And I knew I was a liar because I didn't know Jesus. So how could I say Blessed Assurance? Do you understand there's power in the Word of God? After that meeting, someone began to send me Navigator's memorization verses. And verses like 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, old things are passed away, all things have become new, became like a hammer in my head, convicting me that I wasn't changed. I began to beg God to change me. And He did. And I've given you references and points about the power of the Word of God for salvation, for sanctification, for conviction, to break your heart. Verses like Hebrews 4:12, Acts chapter 2 verse 37, where they were cut to the heart when they heard Peter preach that first expository message in Acts chapter 2. The Word of God is powerful because it is God's very words which He spoke. And He orchestrated the whole thing where He took hold of men, and the holy men were moved by God's Spirit as they wrote the scriptures exactly as He wanted. Every word is inspired, God breathed, and it can change lives. And you've got to have a strong bibliology. You've got to have a strong conviction about this book. Is it really the Word of God? Is it really so? Which brings me to my third point. If it is so, if this is the Word of God and every word is inspired in the original autographs, the only way to preach it, and I like what Stephen Oldford said in one of the seminars I attended, where Stephen Oldford was teaching us how to preach. He said, the only way to preach the Word of God is expositorily. And he dared to say this, if it is not exposition, it is not Christian preaching. You can't treat the Word of God any other way except to bring out the accuracy of the meaning of the Word of God. When you go verse by verse, word by word, delve deep into the storehouse and the streams of living water, which is the Word of God, and preach it. And what's going to happen? You've got to get thrilled about this. People will be saved, people will be sanctified, people will be made strong, enthusiastic, passionate about Jesus. And it's all about whom? Jesus. So every year we have the National Expositors Conference to do what? To give you just a taste of what exposition really is. We want you to get passionate about the Word of God, to study it, to live by it, to preach it, and to become shepherds of the flock of God, and to see your people become not worshippers of the Bible, but true worshippers of the God of the Bible. Amen. Have a great conference.